Good morning and welcome to Cool Science Radio. This is the last day of the KPCW Summer Pledge Drive, and we're happy to bring you this hour of Cool Science Radio where we concentrate just on talking about what we talk about on Cool Science Radio and why you should donate to KPCW, your community radio, public radio, NPR affiliate station, where we support as listeners and members of this community, we support all of the news and information that comes from KPCW as the center of our community. I'm here with Tim Henney. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, Lynn.
And Tim, of course, is our host on The Mountain Life, my partner in crime. And he has so...
How did I end up here today?
There was a bribe. There was a medium latte that I purchased for you at Java Cow. And... because John Wells, my co-host, is out of town. He's enjoying being, as we say, on assignment. So missing out. And it's always great to have extra voices in the room talking about why you should call in right now to donate to KPCW, especially if you ever listen to Cool Science Radio, if you enjoy how much we break down the complicated topics of science and technology. And
I like JW's tagline. If
yes.
we can understand it, then you can certainly understand it.
I know. I love that tagline. And it's true. And what we do here on Cool Science Radio is we hopefully create the science curious about whatever it is. And we talk about everything going on in space, from black holes to string theory to the Parker solar probe, the craft that will have come the closest to the sun of any craft, and the kind of information it's bringing up and gathering from the sun, if you can believe that. We talk about technology and, well, everything in between. And so today we're going to be talking about the science of healthcare, and we're joined by two wonderful ladies from the Park City Hospital, Intermountain Park City Hospital, and they also are in some way associated with the Heber Valley Hospital. We're joined by Jenny Jones, who is the communications specialist at Park City Hospital, and also Taylor Hanton, who is a neonatal nurse practitioner at Park City Hospital, and many other areas of interest and expertise in terms of helping the newborns that come into the hospital. And wow, good morning to both of you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
So we're going to have a whole hour to talk about Park City Hospital, but let's start off with some thank yous and some recognition of volunteers, I think.
We're going to thank Jane Wood from Ballet West, and Jane says, "Hi, Renee." So thanks, Jane. And also Dave Treadway, who says, "Thank you, KPCW, for supporting the community."
Excellent. Thanks for those. And
well, look, here's one that we should have read yesterday, Lynn. You want to read that? Our serial givers.
Oh, our serial givers, our favorites. Heidi and Peter Gatch, thank you to you for all of the support that you give here at KPCW, you two. And they say, "Tim, Lynn, JW, and everyone at KPCW, we love you." Yes, we were waiting for that call yesterday during the Mountain Life. They must have had important business to take care of.
That's what I hear.
But Heidi and Peter, why? Because you called and harassed your sister?
Somebody did.
Thanks, Heidi and Peter. We love your support. And so let's kick it off by talking about, I think, Jenny, everyone in the community watched the sort of the redevelopment, the addition, the not really remodel, just the huge addition to the Park City Hospital. And many of us have been lucky enough to go to the Live Well Center and to different meetings at the Blair Education Center. So, wow, what a great addition.
It really is. And, you know, I really feel like Park City Hospital has become kind of a hub for the community between hosting events at the Blair Education Center where people can come and congregate to, you know, getting all of their kind of healthcare needs met at the hospital. It's all of the additions and the services that we're adding, they're just enhancing life up here in the Wasatch Back.
Well, and it reminds me, just bringing up the Live Well Center, that we have this unbelievable special for this hour. For anyone who calls in and pledges their support for KPCW, we will choose from those names at the end of the hour What will it be, Jenny?
So we're giving away two LiveWell Center assessments, and that's a value of $249. And it's an incredible service. People can come in, they get a full metabolic workup, they have a chance to go into our BOD pod, which is really kind of the gold standard for body composition, and they receive a game plan for the specific steps that you can take to improve your health and wellness. Baseline results, you get to meet with a nutrition counselor, and they are also doing VO2 max and functional fitness testing. VO2 max is where they hook you up to the machine where they test how much air. VO2 max, yeah.
There we go. Well,
how your body processes oxygen.
Thank you.
How efficiently
thank
you
very
run
much.
On your oxygen.
Yes, you've obviously had the test before.
I think Lynn and I, many years ago, we did an assessment and compared our results to one another in a very competitive contest.
Yes, it was competitive, and it was really great to go through the whole workup that they give you at the LiveWell Center. I most recall how long I could hold a plank position, which is really difficult. But it was competitive. And what did we decide?
We decided that I have a high metabolism, and I burn a lot of calories even while I'm resting.
Sitting around. Lucky you. I didn't have that same thing. But boy, can I hold a plank position.
Like that community hub, though. That's Jenny. That is really something. You know, you talked about how the hospital is becoming a community hub with the Blair Education Foundation center, and the rooms that they let a lot of nonprofits use there. Connect, who we had on the Mountain Life yesterday, holds numerous lectures as part of their series in the month of May in the Blair Education rooms. And I know there are other nonprofits who are continually, the Peace House had a recent event up there, and it's just fabulous to see how that has become one of the go-to places. Everybody knows how to get there. It's a beautiful facility, and you have made it available to a lot of different organizations that mean so much to us here in Park City. So that's great.
Well, and I think that the perception that a hospital is just where you go to when you're sick is changing.
Right.
We want it to be a place where people go to get well, you know, and to even have preventative services that can help them stay well for their entire life. And I think Park City Hospital in particular does that very, very well.
Well, the LiveWell Center is where I went recently for my full physical. And I spent, I would say, at least an hour, probably a little more, with Dr. Kelly Woodward. And that was unusual in itself that I was given that much time. And we had this kind of ongoing conversation about all aspects of my personal physical well-being and what I do and what I should be doing and any adjustments that should be made. And that entailed a full blood workup. And he went through and talked about all the different aspects of that, like cholesterol. And it was fabulous.
They are a terrific group who feel like your cheerleaders, really. They really want to see you improve your health, and they'll be with you every step of the way.
Hey, we have a little update here. I misspoke about the special. We're not going to draw names at the end of the hour. Apparently, we learned something about that little law in Utah. but we are offering those assessments for a $250 pledge. So call in, make your pledge, and this is one of the specials of the hour that is available, that LiveWell assessment for a $250 pledge. And boy, this is the most complete assessment. And when Tim and I did our little competition several years ago, it was right before you got the BOD pod. So I guess I don't really understand what the BOD pod sort of captures all of your what is it? I know it's body fat. It's body composition. So
body composition. It uses air displacement to determine your body composition. So your fat versus your lean mass.
Oh, you would do really well in that air displacement.
Oh, you are in so much trouble.
But it's really, you should come back and try it, because it's really kind of cool. You get into like this little egg looking thing. It's kind of very Mork and Mindy-ish. And you learn all kinds of things about your body.
That's great. I remember in college when they were first wait, I shouldn't say when they were first, because it wasn't that long ago, but when body fat measurement was becoming a thing among athletes, and it was this horrific experience that involved a dunk tank, and it was about displacement in water, and you had to breathe, you had to exhale every bit of air, and then let that be okay for about 10 seconds while they captured the data, and you had to keep exhaling even when there was no air.
Are you sure that that was actually a body mass index test, or somebody just like pranked you into a dunk tank?
Well, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. So now technology moving fast forward ahead a few years, and the Bod Pod now. So this is all part of the assessment that you can get for a $250 pledge if you call during this hour. This is a great thing. You know, if you've been considering calling in this week and knowing that today's the last day of the pledge drive, and, you know, you don't necessarily want the restaurant certificates, you've done that, you're looking for that something different. You've heard about the Live Well Center. You sort of know about what they do out there. But until you go out there and experience it, I'm here to tell you, you don't really know what it's about. So give us a call now at 649-9004. That's the number to call. We've got a bunch of great volunteers in the other room waiting to take your call. And you know that public radio is listener supported. We get a great portion of our funding from you, the listeners, and we do it in this fairly painstaking way, I believe, is, you know, being on air all day long for 4 days, asking for your pledge of support, because really KPCW is at the center of this community, providing all the news and information that you get all day long, and music as well. So let's go to Taylor Hanton, who is the neonatal nurse practitioner. She's joining us here. We had her on the Mountain Life a few years ago to talk about the breast milk bank, which was fascinating, but it's great to have you back. We have something called a tele-NICU going at the Park City Hospital, and I'm sure that most people have no idea what that is.
So a tele-NICU service is a remote connection to a newborn intensive care unit. At Park City Hospital, we connect to Intermountain Medical Center, the big hospital next to Costco on State Street. So if we have a baby that we just want an extra set of eyes on, we can connect remotely to that NICU. And a neonatologist will pop up on the screen next to the baby's bedside, and we can communicate both visually and verbally through the monitors.
So there is a big upside to living in Park City and delivering your baby at the local hospital. I can also tell you about that. I almost delivered on I-80, and I know someone who did deliver on I-80. And so staying in your community and being able to stay with the doctor that you've developed the relationship with.
Absolutely.
And delivering here is wonderful. How many babies are delivered at the Park City Hospital?
Roughly about 30 a month.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And who knew?
Yeah, who knew? And what kind of facilities? You know, there are these birthing rooms that are so nice that hospitals have. What are those facilities like?
So one of the benefits of a community hospital is that when you are laboring with your child, you have a labor and delivery nurse. But then once you deliver that baby at Park City, it's the same nurse that will then take care of you and your child. So when you deliver in bigger hospitals, you'll generally have a labor and delivery nurse. But then once you're stable, you'll be transferred to a different floor. So we like to keep our moms and babies in the same room the whole time while they're at Park City.
Okay.
And that's one of the big benefits of delivering in a community hospital.
How long are they generally in that room? I mean, I've heard stories where people come in, deliver, and they're ushered out pretty quickly.
Discharge is dependent on a multiple of different factors. One is the mom, and then the other is this newborn baby. Generally, moms like to be discharged within 24 hours. So we look 24 to 48 hours is an estimated stay, but most babies are out by 24, mm-hmm. right around that mark, depending, of course, what time of day. We're not going to discharge anyone at 2 a.m.
Right.
Unless they really, really want to be, but generally it's around a 24 to 36 hour stay, yeah. I'd say.
How about altitude? Is that an issue? Because so, we are at 7,000 feet, roughly, or maybe a little under at the hospital.
So for babies, sometimes our babies will have an oxygen requirement that they have here that if they were born in Salt Lake, they wouldn't necessarily have. I work at some of the NICUs in the Valley as well, and so it's something we always take into consideration when we discharge a baby is are they being discharged to altitude, because then they may need to have some extra monitoring to make sure that they don't develop an oxygen need once they are transported back home.
Okay. Again, the NICU is Newborn Intensive Care Unit. Does every baby go into the Newborn Intensive Care Unit, or just those who haven't come out with... Is it the APGAR score? Is that the right term?
Yes, APGAR scores. So hospitals, nurseries are leveled for different criteria. So if you have a labor and delivery unit in your hospital, you have to have a nursery for the baby. So the level of nursery a hospital has differs per the type of hospital that you deliver at. So for example, Park City and Heber hospitals are level one nurseries. So we generally deliver 36 weeks and above. We don't deliver high-risk moms here, so if you are a higher-risk pregnancy, that's a conversation you need to have with your OB, and also probably maternal-fetal medicine at a higher-level facility to determine if you're a candidate to deliver in a more of a community hospital. Our goal is to keep moms and babies together, so we aren't going to deliver a mom where we think that the chance of having to transport the baby is higher than what it would be for a healthy term gestation baby.
Okay, so then so this is a level one nursery. A mm-hmm. level two then would be
that
hospitals
would be similar like to LDS hospital.
Okay.
So at LDS hospital, we have a special care nursery there. We deliver 32 weeks and above. We have a neonatal nurse practitioner on service 24/7 in the hospital. And so if you were 28 weeks and going into labor and you went to LDS hospital, you would be transferred to a higher level facility.
And where's that?
So our level three hospitals is Utah Valley, Intermountain Medical Center, and the University of Utah. Primary Children's is our highest level of hospital that we can do all the services from genetics to cardiac to surgeries. And that's the only hospital that we don't transport babies from.
So no births at Primary Children's?
No births, yeah. It's a children's hospital. So we don't do any labor and delivery there.
Okay. So we were talking before we went on air, and it was sort of confusing to me, but very interesting at the same time, is that expectant mothers and parents sometimes think that they can't deliver here because they want to be at a hospital where there's a higher level of nursery. But in fact, all of those hospitals typically have to transfer anyway to
for certain
primary
conditions. Yes. You know, of course, a NICU has more services. So if a baby needed to be on a ventilator for several days or was a micropreemie, like weighing only like a kilo, of course, those babies, you know, they're going to have services at a NICU that we don't have.
Right.
At a level one nursery.
Wouldn't it be right that those types of preemies probably would have been, the moms probably would have not been qualified to
deliver
here anyway, because they'd probably be less than 36 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, the interesting thing, being where we're located here, we're considered a rural community hospital, but we get a lot of patients that are that are traveling on 40 and they see the hospital sign and they're 25 weeks and they're abrupting and they stop at our hospital. So we have to be equipped to be able to stabilize a very preterm baby. And that's part of my role at Park City Hospital and at Heber, is to make sure our nursery staff, providers, respiratory therapists, and nurses are able to handle the most acute situations as well as the nice, healthy term baby that comes along.
Wow.
And so there are 30 healthy term babies a month that are delivered at the mm-hmm. Park City Hospital. And maybe you don't know this, but how many do you think are being, and I hate to say disqualified, but don't qualify as that full-term baby, who are then being sent to other hospitals who, if they were full-term, would be part of that 30?
So that's more of an OB question. I'm not sure how many OB patients
that's
come
determined
through.
Way before.
That, right. So that part of the initial screening when you go to your OB is, you know, your previous pregnancy histories, family histories. Do you have diabetes? Do you not have diabetes? Are you at higher risk for pulmonary or for hypertension during pregnancy? And then if the OBs are concerned, then they consult with maternal fetal medicine, and that's at a higher level facility. And they have a discussion about, is this mom safe to deliver in a lower level hospital?
Yeah. So it's kind of that high risk determination,
right,
and that's made early in the process. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but ask this, how many people drive in off of 40? You said it's kind of common.
It, you know, it probably
surprisingly
happens
common.
A handful of times, yeah, over a year. Yeah, they just, and sometimes it's people without prenatal care, so you really don't know what you're going to get. So that's what the staff at our community hospitals have to be really skilled. Like I said, not just at routine deliveries, but also the higher acuity, unexpected delivery as well.
And they're coming from outside our region in the more rural areas.
Wyoming, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, the larger region, they've hooked into 40 and they're rushing to
Salt
Lake.
And they see the hospital sign.
Yeah.
And
you
can't put on the sign, don't come here unless you're greater than 36 weeks.
If you're listening to this conversation right now and you're finding interest in it, maybe you're thinking of having a child, maybe you're pregnant now, maybe you have given birth in a hospital in Salt Lake and wish you had been at Park City, give us a call and show your pledge of support for not only this conversation, but what we do here at KPCW every single day. It's 649-9004. We're joined now by Taylor Hanton. She's a neonatal nurse practitioner, along with Jenny Jones, who is one of the chief communicators at the Park City Hospital. I like that.
I like that, too. Can you tell my boss?
Yeah. And we're going to take a quick underwriting break, then we'll be back. Again, this is day number 4 of the KPCW Summer Pledge Drive. We are asking for you to show your support, especially those of you who've been sort of waiting all week and you just haven't made the call yet. Now is the time, because time is a running out. So stay with us. 649-9004. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Adam and Jason Cole from Cole Sport, thanking our community for supporting the Back Alley Bash.
What a way to kick off the KPCW Summer Pledge Drive. Cole Sport and KPCW would like to thank our sponsors, General Distributing, High West Distillery, Kumbaya Kitchen, Butchers, The Bridge Cafe, Devon's, and the Town Lift Plaza.
Keep up the good karma by contributing to the KPCW Pledge Drive and online auction all this week, and thank you for your support.
Hello, this is Diane Reinhart with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. With 30 offices throughout Utah, we have been helping locals and visitors with their real estate needs since 1976 and are proud supporters of KPCW. Our agents are in Summit and Wasatch counties and can be reached at bhhsutah.com.
This is Earl Foote, founder of Nexus IT, a proud sponsor of Cool Science Radio on KPCW. Nexus IT provides comprehensive cybersecurity solutions to help protect your business from hackers and today's internet-borne security threats. More information at nexusitc.net or at 435-487-9099.
And we are back. Woohoo! Hear that noise. Lots of vitality here at KPCW during our day number 4.
Or at least noisemakers.
Yeah, noisemakers. You know, it requires vitality to make some noise. And they're excited. They're excited to receive your call at 649-9004. Give us a call right now if you ever listen to Cool Science Radio and have learned something, have become a little more curious about science or technology as a result of some of the wonderful interviews that we get from experts, not only local experts, but national and international experts on topics related to science and technology. We're joined in the studio by Park City Hospital. We've got Jenny Jones, who is a communication specialist, along with Taylor Hanton, who's a neonatal nurse practitioner. And we're talking about all the services offered at the Park City Hospital. We're also, we've just made a little sweeter deal on that LiveWell Center assessment. So normally this is a $250 value. We've got two of these going for $150 each. So give a call now, before I grab it. You better call now, because this is a great assessment, and I know that we've done it before. I haven't done it for a few years.
It's been quite a while.
Right, and it really lets you know what your baseline is, all that hard work that you do to get fit. This this goes deeply into all of your health, fitness, nutrition, your lifestyle, your sleep habits, all these things that we know are fundamental to your overall health.
I don't think I want to assess my baseline 5 years after I did my first assessment.
Why?
I think my 55-year-old assessment would probably look better than my 60-year-old assessment.
You never know. Have you been working hard?
We're hardly working.
So, you know, we talk a lot on Cool Science Radio about the science of all different types of things. Even sometimes we delve into the world of neuroscience and cognitive health and things like that. We talk about Alzheimer's, and this all ties into the healthcare that is being provided at the Park City Hospital. And also at the Heber Valley Hospital, something that I think I've learned this morning is sort of the partnerships between the Park City Hospital and the Heber Valley Hospital. And Jenny, maybe you can speak to this. We know that Cy Hutt, who is the, what is his role, his title? Is he the director?
So he was the administrator of Park City Hospital, who is now the administrator of Heber Valley Hospital.
And he's kind of straddling, taking on both roles right now.
He is, yeah. We're working on getting a new administrator at Park City Hospital. But in the meantime, Cy is covering both. And we actually have quite a lot of leadership positions that cover both hospitals. And I think that's important because the Wasatch back, we do share a lot of the workforce services. We share a lot of people. And so it makes sense to have that continuity of care, that we have hospital managers and employees covering both hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny and Taylor, I heard you two during the break talking about some things that you wanted to highlight in this next bit. But one of the things I heard you both share was 30 births a month in Park City Hospital is a kindergarten class. Actually, it's over a kindergarten class.
It's my favorite statistic.
Yeah, yeah, and then there's another 15 that are being born at Heber. Is that correct? So we're getting 45 births. That's two kindergarten classes a month in this region between these two hospitals.
That's a lot of babies.
That's a lot of babies.
And it's expected to grow. Our area, as we all know, is growing so much. And so we're going to have a lot more babies in years to come.
Yes. Hey, give us a call now, 649-9004. That's the number to call. Let's talk through some of these specials. First of all, we want to thank, of course, the breakfast pastries, of which I have had far too many this week. But from Deer Valley Bakery, they're so good. They're really good. I can't say no. Thank you, Deer Valley Bakery. And lunch today is coming from El Chubasco, another mainstay of my diet. And thanks to the market at Park City, you wouldn't think about how much ice we've gone through this week, but we have. Keeping all of our volunteers hydrated.
Lynn, did you see what Lisa just did?
She marked off one of the LiveWell assessments. So that means we have one more assessment. This is a $250 value. It's going for $150. And I think I know who may have claimed that. Well, let's say a big thank you to Joyce Helton. And she says thanks to KPCW. And she also says hi. Hi, Joyce. And it's funny because I was thinking about Joyce, who is a friend of mine. Because after we talked to the LiveWell Center on our show, The Mountain Life, I got a text from Joyce right after asking about the assessment, and she ended up going out there and doing it. And I was also, I learned that from her, because she's not a runner to do your VO2 max test. And I'm not really a runner either, but I went out and ran for that test. You can just bike for the test, which I didn't know. She told me, and I thought, why didn't I ask? Instead, I ran and probably injured myself.
Well, thank you, Joyce. We look forward to seeing you at the LiveWell Center.
Excellent. Okay, one more of those LiveWell assessments. If you don't call right now and grab it, I am here to tell you, I will grab it. So it's a great deal, $150 for a $250 value. It's kind of what we do here at the Pledge Drive, is we give you things that are much better value than actually the numbers of dollars that you're committing towards your local public radio station, which makes it really good for you. And we, of course, appreciate so much your donation to this radio station.
Hey, Lynn, how about an update on how the pledge drive is going?
Yes, let's. So, as of this morning, we had about $72,870 or so dollars to go. So that's a lot for one day. Our overall goal was $150,000. So far today, we have made $7,000 and change. So that means we have about $65,000 left to go today. This needs to come from your calls. And it sounds like a tall order, but we know that this community can pull together. Boy, have we seen this community pull together and support the nonprofits.
Rotary Wars coming up later today.
Oh, yes. What time is Rotary Wars?
Am I accurate on
that? Today.
I think it's at the end of the day.
It's one of the
last sessions. And generally, there's a dogs versus cats segment that also seems to raise a lot of money.
Lisa Allison could tell us that she's not even listening.
Oh, she's listening. She just said, I will. She's multitasking.
It's fun to yell at people in the studios when you're on air.
Lisa did.
What? Did she add another one?
We're adding two more.
Oh, way to go, Jenny Jones, Park City Hospital.
Two more, and you wanted to know about Rotary?
We wanted to know about what time Rotary Wars are.
Four to five. And then 5 to 6 is sunrise.
Okay, so 4 to 5 is the noon Park City Rotary. 5 to 6 is the sunrise Rotary. And that is really, that's the time that we are going to bring this pledge drive home in a big way. So which Rotary are you a part of? Which Rotary do you like? Which Rotary have you ever spoken at, visited as a guest? Think about donating during those times, 4 to 5 and 5 to 6.
Nooner just recognized Craig Cooper as their Citizen Volunteer of the Year, and Charlie Sturgis is their Professional Citizen Volunteer of the Year from Mountain Trails Foundation. Just the other day, it was a fabulous ceremony. And
I heard you speak.
Well,
as well,
well-deserved recognition for both those individuals.
Absolutely.
Most people don't know much about Craig Cooper, but those who do recognize him as a DJ at Park City at KPCW, and he always finishes his show, and I've been hearing this for 25 years, with just go out and do something nice for somebody. You'll feel really good about it.
Yes.
He says that every time, and it's a great send-off and a reminder.
Absolutely. Craig Cooper he's just got that golden voice. I love hearing him on the radio. So he typically comes on after this show. In fact, maybe we'll see him to congratulate him in about 20 minutes. He typically comes on Thursday at 10 o'clock. He's a wonderful DJ and a wonderful community member, obviously. And we love our Craig Cooper. And then we love Charlie Sturgis, too. Charlie's on the radio all the time. And this is, again, back to what KPCW does to support our local community, nonprofits, Mountain Trails Foundations. Always, you know, this is your conduit to finding out the trail conditions, where they've been groomed in the wintertime. And boy, I'm interested in hearing after that storm last night, either trails are really great or they're really rutted right now.
I plan to find out later today.
Good, me too. So, and back to our conversation with Park City Hospital, Jenny Jones and Taylor Hanton. And boy, I just find this neonatal conversation really interesting. Also, before we went on air, Taylor, you were talking about all these, you're on call at Park City Hospital, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, but you also consult around. And it seems like you're connected to a lot of other hospitals. How do you really know where you're going in a day?
That's a good question. So my role at Park City is not only to educate the nursery staff, but also to cover baby call. So Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, I'm on call. So if there's an emergency or a baby that just needs a little help transitioning, I will be called in to take care of that baby. I'll also do some more night call and weekend call and assist the pediatricians with their call as well. So then that's kind of my role at Park City. And then I do one night shift a week at either Primary Children's Hospital, Intermountain Medical Center, or LDS Hospital. So to keep my skills up to date and know what's kind of going on in our NICUs to make sure that we're doing everything that we can in our lower level nurseries, such as Park City and Heber.
And this is the kind of quality that Park City Hospital brings. It seems like you are always expanding services, getting new technology in, and we love to hear about that at KPCW. We invite you on the Mountain Life. We invite you during the local news hour. Every so often you're on Cool Science Radio to share with the community all of the information about this community hospital that, boy, so many people worked so hard to bring to this community. There, it's right out there. As I say, it's about a mile and a half from my house, and I love that. It makes it so convenient. You know, gone are the days where you have to spend an entire, you know, day to go down to an appointment in Salt Lake at one of the hospitals down there.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention about that and about our tele-NICU services that Taylor can dive into the specifics more is that, you know, back in the day, rural hospitals did not have a lot of options when it came to babies that might need a little bit of extra care, and they would have to transfer those babies out. And with our tele-NICU services, we can keep mom and baby together a lot more often.
Yeah, our transfer rate at Park City Hospital for newborns is only 3% over the last year. So the vast majority of patients that we deliver, we keep mom and baby together. What tele-NICU allows us to do is just give us an extra set of eyes and a safety net to say, hey, you know, we're comfortable taking care of this baby. The neonatologist can look at the baby, and then we can make a safe treatment decision for mom and baby to continue care at Park City.
Excellent. If you're listening to this conversation now, you find it valuable, you find all of the information that comes out of KPCW valuable, or maybe it's every so often you hear something that you didn't know before and you find it fascinating, give us a call now. It's 435-649-9004. And Tim, why don't you talk through some of these other specials that we have this hour, in addition to two more of those Live Well assessments.
Just one.
Just one.
Yep.
Wow. It's going quickly.
You should pay attention to when Lisa walks in here and what she does. But she's been X-ing off those Live Well assessments.
Okay, we have
four,
just one
and we're
more.
Down to one.
$150 pledge will get you. It's a $250 value, so it's a wonderful service. And the phone's ringing now.
And there are numerous dining and entertainment packages. There's the $125 package. There are a number of those left. That's $50 to the Egyptian Theater, $25 to Squatters, and a pair of Park City Museum tickets. That's all for a $125 pledge. Then there's the $250 pledge, and that dining package has a $100 Egyptian Theater gift certificate, a $25 eating establishment gift certificate, and $25 Vail on Mountain dining, pair of Natural History Museum of Utah tickets, and a KPCW Bruce Larrabee mug.
Wow, well said. So lots of dining packages, lots of other specials. If that doesn't appeal to you, there's a Ski Butlers special. So it's a ski or snowboard lease for the whole year, the whole ski season coming up just around the corner. And that's for a $275 pledge. Also a special Four Seasons Concierge, a luxury minibus for up to 31 people. This is for your big party for 5 hours. That's a $500 pledge, and actually that's a $700 value. So great special there with Four Seasons Concierge. Give us a call now at 649-9004 to claim any of these specials that are being offered this hour. We also have a special from Zermatt Resort. It's a dinner for two in Z's Steak and Chop House. Now, I've never been there, but I love Zermatt Resort. Any of you been there? Because if you haven't, maybe it's time for you to pick up that $150 pledge, or to make that $150 pledge and pick up your dinner for two in Z's Steak and Chop House. That's over a romantic dinner in beautiful Midway.
Watch,
oh,
Lynn.
There
did
she
you see
goes.
What happened?
I did. Lisa came in and she took down the page of specials. So we've gone through all of those
Live Well assessments. Yeah.
Wow, you're going to have a good time out there.
Lynn, I'd like you to explain what a walking waffle is.
Wait, where?
I'd like to know
right
that,
here.
Oh, the walking waffle.
Yes.
I know what that is.
Yes, I know you know what that is.
We had a walking waffle yesterday. Ken Davis gave us a walking waffle to try to see how it worked if while we ate it as we walked, I guess. So down at Java Cow.
I think Ken wonders if we can walk and eat a waffle at the same time.
He was probably like secretly videoing us. So a crepe or one superfood smoothie, which is my favorite at Java Cow, or one superfood bowl, or two walking waffles. It's this special kind of waffle they're doing now at Java Cow. It has something to do with its dough, not batter.
Yes.
Whatever that
and
means.
And a special sugar, too.
Special
sugar pellets.
Oh, yeah. Powdered sugar pellets. I've never seen those. Only folks at Java Cow can you get the sugar pellets. So that's an add-on, actually, for this hour, which I think we'd make good use of that. Maybe I... Well, okay, Tim. Maybe that's your pledge. Okay. So... Well, what other, we have about 15 minutes left, actually 14 minutes left in this hour, so there's plenty of time to call, but why don't you just call now and avoid that end, that frantic last 2 minutes of the hour, 649-9004. You know who you are. You're the ones that have been waiting all week to make the call. Maybe you're sort of distracted. Maybe you're driving. You don't want to call now, but this, folks, is we're getting down to the wire here, and we have $65,000 to go that we need to raise to keep this radio station on the air to bring you all the news, information, and music that you value. And it's such a great, it's a communitarian benefit.
You know what I liked hearing yesterday, I believe it was, Lynn? That some of the Broadcaster Club membership, new ones that are coming in during this pledge drive, are outside of Park City city limits, but still within the listening region.
Yes.
And I think that is a wonderful thing to track and to see, that people who benefit from KPCW aren't living simply inside city limits. We know that there's regional reach and regional interest, and some of those people like Mike and Aaron Ruzick, who called during the giant thunderstorm on a drive back from Evanston, Wyoming, became Broadcaster Club members, and they live out in the Snyderville Basin outside of official Park City limits, but as many people feel a connection to Park City and view this as a regional community, not just an inside city limits community.
Well, absolutely. And our listening area does go into Wasatch County and the sort of outer lying areas of Summit County. And one of the things that we are expanded news staff has been offering is expanded coverage of Wasatch County. We hear Heber City Mayor Kellene Potter on. It seems like I hear her on once a month or a couple times. So it's really nice to keep the news and information coming from Wasatch County. So that makes a broader listening area, more people for whom KPCW is very relevant. So if you are one of those people who lives in Peowa, in Samac, in Oakley, in Colville, in Heber City, in Midway, give us a call now and pledge your support, because we really can't do it without you. It's 649-9004. And let's talk, Jenny Jones, a little bit about the Heber Valley Hospital, since we're talking about expanded service. You know, I remember when it was built, but has that hospital, I haven't really visited out there in quite some time. So how has that changed over the years, and how, you know, you serve obviously the whole area in the valley?
It's going through major changes right now. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, we opened a brand new InstaCare for urgent care needs, and we expanded our emergency room. One of the things that we were hearing from people was that as Wasatch County continues to grow, you know, that hospital needed expanded services. And in order to accommodate the ER traffic that we were getting, we needed a bigger space. And it is beautiful. And they are able to take care of patients so well. And we see a lot of, we can really do well with our expanded population, and especially folks that we have that are vacationing out there that get injured, either they're skiing, or they're out on their ATVs, or they're cross-country skiing, or they're fishing even. That ER staff is phenomenal as far as making sure those patients are stabilized and getting them the care that they need. And now with, you know, I'm a mom of two little kids. Little kids do not get sick during business hours. It is always after hours. And so I live in Heber, and I'm extremely grateful for the new InstaCare that we have there. To help take care of my family.
I'm curious about both of your feelings on looking back at, I think the Heber Hospital was in place well before the Park City Hospital developed. And I remember during that conversation and debate that was going on in the community maybe 15 years ago about the Park City Hospital. And part of it was, why do we need a hospital in Park City? There's one right in Heber. But looking back, it kind of seems like, how did Park City get along without a hospital for so many years or for so long? Because it seems now that it's just a given that we should and that we do have a hospital and that it's such of high quality, as is the Heber Hospital. And there's certainly overwhelming demand. And I kind of like looking back at those conversations and kind of dissecting them and then putting them in the present and saying, wow, you know, that was kind of obvious in a way. And I wonder what your feelings are on that. I know that you have a bias because of your roles and positions, but
we were recently just talking about this at a corporate level, because, you know, right now it's very hard to staff two full hospitals with all the services that we provide, from ER staff to labor and delivery to med surg. And we've done a analysis of the area and what's the best way to move forward. Like, do we grow both hospitals? Do we continue sharing services? And the prospective growth that's anticipated over the next several years, it's the best decision to continue growing both hospitals, because we're expecting so much growth, especially in the Heber area, that it makes more sense to grow both hospitals independently. Well, so meanwhile, we share a lot, but as time goes on, we'll become more independent.
Wasatch is the third fastest growing county in the United States, not in the state of Utah, but in the United States currently. And we all sort of hear that, we feel it, we see it, their pressures, their school district is expanding all the time. And it makes sense that the hospital would have to expand and have to have other services being provided. I'm wondering if that's part of Cy's new role, is to focus on the expansion that's happening in Heber, because there's such rapid demand or growing demand and need for rapid expansion. And as he oversaw the build out of the initial two or three phases of Park City, and that's kind of where the Heber Hospital is. It's been there I don't even know how long, but I'm going to say a fairly long time, and it's time to update and expand.
Yes, definitely. So I know that there's a lot of construction that's going to be going on at Heber Hospital just to accommodate the anticipated growth they're going to have. And as I previously mentioned, like, a lot of our services we're sharing right now, but in years to come, we're going to be fully independent. I know the nursery at Heber Hospital is going to be growing, where they're going to make more of a state-of-the-art nursery. The space that they currently have is pretty small, but just anticipating a larger number of deliveries that'll be occurring there is going to increase the nursery size.
Yeah, and that seems odd to me that there would be 30 births a month in Park City and 15 in Heber, because my view of Heber is there's a greater number of young families having babies in the Heber Valley than there are in the immediate Park City area. Now, I could be off, because I'm not taking into consideration the whole Snyderville Basin area. I know there are a lot of young families there who would be in family building mode. But boy, Heber, I mean, that's kind
of
where
moms,
the affordable housing is and where the families are going.
A lot of moms with the concern of being separated from their baby at birth choose to deliver in a NICU, or a hospital with a NICU. So we lose a lot of deliveries to Utah Valley, the Heber area, and we lose a lot of deliveries to IMC or hospitals that have more of a special care nursery. So that's where we don't have a lot of the numbers that we're hoping to gain in our areas, because I just don't think the community realizes what abilities we have to care for babies in smaller hospitals, and what that means for a mom delivering, and what our goals are to safely care for these babies.
And when you talk about
locally, losing
and gaining births, is it viewed as a competitive environment amongst the hospitals because of the services that they can provide, or is it the pie is big enough for all of us to share and do and provide a higher level of service? That's, that's a everybody wins model versus winners and losers.
I mean, it's an interesting point. You know, we're all one Intermountain, right? So, you know, we want babies to deliver in our Intermountain facilities. I think the more important piece is to make sure our community is educated on what are the pros and cons of delivering in different hospitals. And I think that is where we are kind of deficient. Like, I don't think our community knows what it means to deliver at Park City or what it means to deliver at Heber or why they want to have a NICU. I can tell you from my experience working in a hospital where there's a special care or there's a NICU, if a baby is in well baby nursery and has a complication with low glucose, those babies are transferred over to the NICU and they're separated from their mom and postpartum, where at Park City or Heber hospitals, we're able to keep mom and baby together longer. Mm-hmm. So because you have a higher level of care nursery in your hospital, you might be separated from your baby for things that you would otherwise be able, we'd be able to keep you together with your baby here.
So with the tele-NICU at Park City Hospital, what would be an example of something that you would still have to be transferred out for that if you just had the NICU in the hospital? I mean, obviously, with, you know, when you're on video chat, there's a lot that can be done. But are there, you know, is there some technology, some equipment that we don't have here? That
so one example of a baby that we may deliver at Park City, but the baby may have to be transferred out for a high level of care, is some respiratory distress issues. Sometimes when babies are born, they have a higher need for respiratory issues. And we're able to do some things at Park City, but if a baby has a higher level of need, for example, needs to be on a ventilator to maintain adequate lung compliance and capacities, then we'd have to transport that baby out. But as I previously mentioned, we only transfer out like 3% of all of our deliveries. Yeah. So it's very rare, but it's you can't predict, but babies are going to have a significant respiratory distress problem requiring transport out. Some of the other babies that we've transported out, it was an undiagnosed anomaly that required surgery.
Like a heart condition or something like that.
An esophagus.
Mm. Mm.
So that was a situation where we identified that as a problem and we had to transport that baby out to Primary Children's for surgery. You know, so there's things that if that baby were born at any of the other hospitals, it would have had to have been transported to Primary Children's as
right.
well.
And really, you know, we see the helicopter coming and going. It's a very short helicopter ride.
It's nine
away.
Minutes to IMC.
Right.
Denver Mountain Medical Center.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how far to Primary Children's?
It's probably about
less.
The same. I would guess because when they go to IMC, they just go over the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very short transport time. Usually
yes.
the babies beat the parents
uh-huh.
when they get there.
And only 3%. So you kind of smiled before when I brought up the APGAR score. Is that something old?
No.
Because my kids are, you know. It's been a while since
we've been
in neonatal condition.
An APGAR score is just basically an indicator of how well your baby went through the delivery process. So you can have a low APGAR score, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Okay.
It just basically tells you how well your baby was delivered and responded to extra uterine life.
Yes.
But
it's a fairly traumatic event they have to go through.
Yes. So you have a 1-minute score and a 5-minute score. So we'd like to see an improvement in those scores. So sometimes depending if the baby had a nuchal cord, you know, they can have a low 1-minute APGAR score, but with resuscitative measures has a normal second APGAR score. So it's just more of an indicator to say how the birthing process went with the baby.
So interesting. I should have been a neonatal nurse practitioner.
We need them, so you should.
Oh, there's still time.
Yes.
I'm
going to
go get an APGAR score. I call my physicals well baby updates. So my personal ones, I just consider myself a well baby.
Well, okay. One thing I just wanted to mention too, you mentioned about Park City Hospital and the area having these specialty services. And I think it's really important to note that Park City and Heber Hospital are the only level one nurseries that have a neonatal nurse practitioner. So we are generally housed in newborn intensive care.